evening. But look at Psalm 51. Go down to verse, I guess we can start in verse number 1. We'll read to verse number 10 tonight. The Bible said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." We know that Psalm 51 tonight is, it says it right there in the title of the psalm. This is after David had gone into Bathsheba. Notice here, when David got real serious, he was not okay with having any amount of sin in his life. He wasn't comfortable with 1 ounce of it being there. He wasn't justifying any of it. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." How many glad there's some joy after broken experiences? Amen. "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask you tonight that you just take the reading of God's word and just your word tonight, Lord, work it in our hearts. Lord, it's the greatest thing, Lord, we've done all night is to simply open up the Bible and read, "Thus saith the Lord." I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary, God, and get me out of myself. Lord, help me just to preach, Lord, as you desire and design me to preach tonight, Lord. And all I want to do is bring glory to your name, to honor you, to lift you up, and simply be used of you one more time. I do pray, Lord, you'd work on our hearts, God, that we would not wait until revival to get ready, but God, that we'd come in on Sunday morning ready to go, Lord, and ready to worship, ready to praise you, having already done business with you, Lord, and have already done, got our hearts clear and everything settled, God, that we'd get everything that you have for us. Help us not to be distracted, Lord, help us not to be fumbling around, but Lord, help us to be focused on you, intent in line with you tonight, Lord, that we might get everything that you have for us. Help us to pay attention on purpose. Lord, we love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, as we prepare for revival, let me ask you the question, same question the Lord asked me, is your spirit right? Is your spirit right? Now, I'm not asking you, are you doing everything right? I'm also not asking you, do you believe everything? Well, that's important for you to believe everything right, but that's not what I'm asking you tonight. Not are you standing for everything is right. I preach on the political side of things, I'm standing for everything right. That's wonderful, but that's not what I'm asking you tonight. What I'm asking you is your spirit right? I think to better understand that question, we have to define the term spirit and the term right that we find here in verse number 10, where he says, "And renew a right spirit within me." And so tonight we have, obviously through reading this, we can understand that there's an ability for your and I's spirit to not be right, to not be what it's supposed to be, where it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to be in that sense tonight. And when it is not right, you and I need to come to a place where we say it must be right. Listen, you can go through revival with the wrong spirit and you'll hear good singing, you'll hear wonderful preaching, but nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to be all that it could be tonight. But if we go into it with a right spirit, and God renews that spirit within us tonight, imagine what the next week could be like. And so tonight, as we look at, well, what is my spirit, preacher? What is the spirit mentioned here in verse number 10? It is not the Holy Spirit, but rather the literal definition of the word spirit is the breath of life. Right, it is to breathe in that sense. It speaks of who you are, who the seat of your emotions, your will, your desire, your dreams, your goals, who you are as a person. You ever heard somebody say, that person right there, they got a good spirit about them. Or that person, I don't know, man, they got a bad spirit. Right, so we see tonight, our spirit is who we are. And then that word right doesn't necessarily mean tonight carry the connotation of right and wrong, but rather that word right gives us the understanding of something that is firm, something that is stable, something that is established, something that is fixed, something that is secured. Could you honestly say tonight that everything is right with you and your spirit is right as well? It is fixed. It is settled. It is secure. It is exactly where God desires it to be tonight. Imagine walking into revival and walking in not just into revival, but imagine living the Christian life with a right spirit. In essence, tonight, your mentality, your mindset is exactly where it needs to be. With the renewed, and say, well, preacher, I don't think I'm there tonight. There are some things tonight that have bothered my spirit. Physically, I'm okay. Emotionally, I'm fine, but my spirit tonight, Lord, preacher, it's bothered, and it's different things like that tonight. What do I need to do? Ask the Lord to renew a right spirit in you. Lord, let my spirit be right as you desire it to be. Well, and here's the thing, he can take it from wherever it is and make it right again. Right, no matter how far your spirit is, how cold it is, how dead it is, how you feel in the adjective tonight, God can take you to the place and make that spirit right again. But the first step, you got to put everything in order tonight. The first step is, look at verse 10, create me a clean heart. In essence, tonight, you're never going to get to the right spirit with a dirty heart. The heart must be clean. Well, how in the world do I clean my heart? Preacher, wherewithal also a young man cleans his ways by taking heed thereunto the word of God tonight. In essence, tonight, verses 1 through 4 tell us exactly how to clean our heart. Repent of our sin, confess our sins openly, ask God to wash us and to renew and to create in us a clean heart tonight. Here's the thing tonight. You can try your best to fix your spirit, but if your heart is dirty, it's going to be spinning your tires. You're not going to accomplish what you set out to be. In essence, tonight, you can hold on to your sin all tonight, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the way to next Friday, and not deal with it, not confess it, not get it right between you and the Lord, and you're going to miss out on what you could have had in the coming week. And so you're saying tonight, preacher, if I want my spirit right, my heart has to be right first. That is correct tonight. And then when your heart is clean and your heart is right, then you get time to work on the spirit. Now it's not us doing the work, but rather it's God doing the work in us. And so make sure your heart is clean and then analyze your spirit. Analyze your spirit. Run your spirit through the test of God's word tonight. Tonight I'm going to give you three spirits tonight that need to be made right. And honestly tonight, there's probably more that we could pull out of the scripture tonight. But truth be told, we're probably going to find ourselves in one of these three spirits. One of these three categories tonight. And if you find yourself in any one of these tonight, you need to stop and say, Lord, it is time for you to help me get my spirit right. You can go through the motions, you can do everything right and be obedient in that sense, but if your spirit is not right, it is of no avail tonight. And so I want to give you three spirits tonight that need to be made right. And if you go through tonight and you say, ask yourself, is my spirit right? The first spirit that needs to be made right is a broken spirit. A broken spirit. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 34 tonight. We're going to flip through the book of Psalms a good bit tonight. But Psalm 34, we are introduced to the broken spirit. What does a broken spirit look like? What does it sound like? Look at verse number 18. Of chapter 34, the book of Psalms, or Psalm 34. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. You said, Spirit, give me a second, preacher. Or give me a second. And save as such as be of a contrite spirit. Now that word contrite is not a word that we use in our everyday vernacular. As a matter of fact, it is called an archaic word. It is a word that we see in our Bible, and we don't understand it today because, well, we don't use it very often. When's the last time you went somewhere and somebody said, I am contrite? Matter of fact, I'll plug this here tonight. If you got Spotify, you listen to podcasts, look up A to Z through the KJV. It is a podcast that's put out by one of my Bible college professors and his brother, Chad and Jason McNeese. And they go through these words that we don't use in our everyday language and define them. And they're little 3-minute clips. And one of those words that they had was contrite. The other one was dazed. And in 3 minutes, man, I was about to wreck my car. Because it was just such good truth that was being delivered in 3 minutes. Proof tells you that a sermon doesn't have to be long to be good. But we see it tonight. Well, the Bible said, save us such as be of a contrite. Well, preacher, what does that word contrite mean? It means broken, but not in the sense of just cracked and a few mess ups here, but literally broken to the point that has been ground finely to powder. Completely and totally and utterly broken. Now, let me ask you, if you've ever broke a bone, you know how painful it is until it's reset and cast. And if you've ever been in a car, had a car break down on you, how many know tonight that cars never break down at convenient times? There's never a good time for a car to break down. But we understand, you know how much of a headache it becomes, how much of a difficulty it is until either it is fixed or replaced. And if your spirit has ever been broken, you know the frustration, the difficulty that the Christian life becomes. Because your spirit is broken. You go through the motions. You serve through obligation. You don't serve with joy. You don't serve with excitement. You don't serve with expectation. You don't serve with anticipation of God moving. You serve merely out of obligation because that's what you're supposed to do. You're doing all the right things, but on the inside, you're broken. You're hurting. And to be honest, you're miserable. Now, you probably wouldn't stand up in church tonight and testify. So I want to let everybody know my spirit is broken and I'm absolutely 100% totally completely miserable tonight. Right, because we don't do that in church. That's not the normal testimony service. But have you know tonight when your spirit is broken, when it's hurting, when you're discouraged, the Christian life can easily become nothing more than motions. Nothing more than routine. Well, preacher, what causes a broken spirit? What causes one's spirit to be broken? Really, there's a lot on that list. Tonight, we could probably spend a good amount of time trying to figure out all the reasons why someone's spirit can be broken. But I gave a few. Sometimes it's unannounced problems or unexpected issues. Things that happen in your life that you were not planning for. You come to find out things break down, things fall apart, problems arise, and you've got an emergency fund, but you have no emergency spirit. Now your spirit is broken. Unmet expectations. What you thought was going to happen ends up not happening. People let you down. Dreams fall apart. Life comes crashing down. That ever broke your spirit before? You ever thought this? But I thought the Lord was going to. And then he didn't do it the way he expected it to. And sometimes that causes our spirit to break. Sometimes it's unmet expectations. Sometimes it's unfair treatment. Those that are supposed to help you end up hurting you. Those that you thought would always be faithful end up walking out. And you step back and you are reminded once again that life is not fair. And it begins to break your spirit. You give your all, and everybody else only does a little. And it seems like the people that are doing a little are getting more than the people that are doing everything. And you're saying, where's the fairness in this? And it begins to break your spirit. Your lack of blessings is magnified by others' abundant blessings. Why do they get that, Lord? And here I am struggling. Here I am trying my best to stay afloat. And it seems like, Lord, they don't even love you as much as I do. And they're getting all this stuff, and here I am with seemingly nothing. And your spirit begins to break. Sometimes our spirit breaks because of unfiltered lies. What do you mean by that, preacher? Sometimes we begin to listen to Satan. God is done with you. You might as well just quit. You might as well just give up. God will never use anybody like you. You don't have enough talent for God to use. You might as well just find you a hole somewhere, bury yourself in, and just wait. Because things aren't going to get better. And you begin to listen to the lies of Satan. Anytime Satan begins to whisper in your ear, here's what you need to do. You need to take what he says and filter it through the Word of God. And if God has said otherwise, you need to listen to God and quit listening to Satan. Because the longer you listen to the lies of the devil, the more your spirit is going to break. And here's the thing this evening, a lot of times we don't realize the breaking until it's really, really broke. Remember that word contrite means ground down to a powder. And sometimes we don't realize how broke we are until we look around and all we see is powder of what we once had. And our spirit is broken. We know what causes a broken spirit. And most of us tonight could probably think, listen, yep, that'll do it. Or that's done it in my life. I'm living proof of that, preacher. I know what the cause of a broken spirit is, but thankfully tonight I got more than just a cause. I have a cure for it. What is it, preacher? What is a cure for a broken spirit? It's the Lord. It's the Lord tonight. Not just who he is, but what he's done. Notice what it says right there in verse number 18. What does he do to those of a contrite spirit? He saveth them. In essence, tonight, he can deliver them. He can liberate you. He can free up in that sense and allow you to enjoy a right spirit once again. I'm thankful tonight. Yes, your spirit may be broken, but it does not have to stay that way. It can be cured in hell. Why? Through or how? Through the Lord tonight. The word saved means delivered, deliberated. Look at, well, preacher, I don't know. I don't know about all that, preacher. Well, notice here tonight, may I remind you what he's already doing in your life. Look at verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. No matter how low you get, no matter how discouraged, no matter how far off you run, you cannot outrun the sight of God. You are in his eyes, or his eyes are upon you. His ears are open under their cry. Do you realize tonight when you cry out and nobody else can help you, nobody else can hear you, nobody else can do anything for you, the people you love the most cannot even help you in that sense. There is one that can hear you tonight. And he can renew a right spirit in you. He can take that which is broken and make it right again. Look at verse number, it's somewhere in here tonight. Verse number 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do it. Do you know one tonight you have one defending you? He don't need karate. He don't need jujitsu. He don't need arms and weapons and guns. He's God Almighty and he is defending you. That's why the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. There's some people, listen, you could jack them up, change their oil, and give them everything you have. They're going to get up and keep lying on you. Our job is not to defend ourselves tonight. Our job and our responsibility is to allow God to defend us. Because if you live a life defending yourself, you're going to live a life with a broken spirit. Because the people you're going to try to straighten out, they ain't going to get straightened out. Remember learning in Bible college, Brother Robbie told us, don't you ever preach a sermon because you think so-and-so in the church needs it or prepare it specifically for them. He said, one, they won't be there when you preach it, or two, if they're there, they'll shout you on the whole time. And you're thinking, you need this. Listen to it. But tonight, he defends us. Then notice verse number 17, he delivers us. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of their troubles. See, tonight, I can hear some of your cries. And you could probably hear some. I could probably sit down and tell you some of my problems tonight. And you could probably hear them. You'd probably say, preacher, that's terrible. And I'd say, well, what should I do? You'd say, I have no idea how to fix that. I have no idea what you should do. And tonight, there's some problems you could lay in my lap and say, preacher, what do I do? And I'd say, to be honest with you, I'm not sure. In the moment, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm thankful tonight that every problem we've ever brought to God, God's always said, I know exactly what you need. And tonight, if it's broken your spirit, God says, I know how to make it right. He said, I can renew a broken spirit. Well, preacher, no, my situation is above everybody else's. My problem is bigger than anybody else's. Well, look at verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, isn't that a wonderful verse? Preacher, I'm serving God, giving everything I have. Isn't everything's going to be wonderful in my life? That's not what the word affliction means. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them some. Three quarters. 15/16. All of them. In essence tonight, I'm not trying to make light of your problem that has broken your spirit, but your problem is not big enough that God cannot handle it. He can renew a right spirit in you if your spirit is broken. Let me ask you tonight, do you have a broken spirit that needs to be delivered? He can do it tonight if you just come to him. Notice number one, there's a broken spirit. Then notice number two tonight, there's a burdened spirit. A burdened spirit. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Psalm of Asaph. Psalm 77. And go down to verse number 3. The psalmist writes, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. The word, it's interesting. I was studying this out and I looked that word overwhelmed up and I was like, I know what that meaning is. You know, it's when you got too much on your plate, right? I was giving the Lord the Tate and Wagner definition. Too much on your plate, you know, too much going on, your biz, you know, doubt that is there. But when I looked it up, the first definition I read, I said, what? That word overwhelmed in your Strong's Concordance means to shroud. It means to clothe. And it means to cover. I said, hold on a second, what does that mean? That, Lord, that is not too much on the plate. We're talking about clothes and garments and shrouds. But then there's a little moniker that's attached to it. It's not just meaning to shroud, to clothe, and to cover. There's another part you add on to it, which it goes as with darkness. To be clothed, to be covered, to be shrouded with darkness. See, that word described, how would you describe? Well, you could say you're too much on your plate, too many things going on. I got too much to process. I got too many things on the to-do list. I got too many expectations. I've got too many expenses and not enough resources. Preacher, I just got a whole lot going on. Here's what you're saying is you are clothed with something that is dark in that sense. It is allowing, and it's causing you not to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Therefore, you are overwhelmed. It is more than you can handle. You feel completely covered with problems, like you're in a dark tunnel and you cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. Can I say that's why your Bible's so wonderful? Because when you can't see the light at the end of your tunnel, you got a light in your heart. Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I think it was Spurgeon said that it's a light by day, a lamp by night, and a delight all the time. When it comes to the Word of God, you feel completely uncovered, and there's no light in the tunnel. And normally, when you and I feel overwhelmed, we have two normal, natural responses. You'll either be one of these two kind of people, or probably a little bit of both. When we become overwhelmed, our natural reaction is to clam up or to shut down. If I can't fix everything, and I can't do everything, and I can't make my way through being overwhelmed, I'm just not going to do anything. You ever been there? You ever had one load of laundry turn into four on the couch? You say, well, that's just too much laundry to do today. I'm just not going to do it. That is my new closet. That's where I'm going to live. But when we become overwhelmed, sometimes the response is, if there's no way to getting out, I'm just not going to do anything. And I'm just going to clam up. We allow things to pile up that should have never been allowed to do so. And if we don't clam up, guess what else we do? We complain. Let me ask you, has being overwhelmed ever caused you to complain? Notice what the psalmist said right here. You're not alone tonight. Notice what he said right there in verse number 3. I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed. In essence, tonight, he said, I tried and it didn't fix nothing. See, a lot of times when we become overwhelmed, we begin to complain. I looked that word complain up. Once again, I thought I knew what that meant. And in essence, I do. It means to complain, right? To complain means to complain. There's a good definition. Right, but it means to converse with oneself aloud. To put forth one's thoughts in intents. Tonight, you ever thought out loud and said, I probably shouldn't have said that? I was just thinking out loud. Here's what I found out. 10 times out of 10, complaining is self-centered. It's motivated by self. Since I can't figure out and I don't know how to move forward or to progress or to get any better, I'm going to find someone or something to blame. And therefore, I'm going to complain. And here's the thing tonight, you've probably heard me say it at least once, complaining doesn't fix anything. In essence, tonight, there's a problem, there's an issue that you have in your life, complaining about it isn't going to change anything. It's just going to make things worse. Right? Because it's going to affect your spirit. The psalmist said, I complained and I became overwhelmed. And we see tonight the same is true in our life. So, preacher, if we're not to clam up and we're not to complain, what are we supposed to do when our spirit is burdened? Neither actions are viable solutions for a burdened spirit. What did the psalmist do? Well, look at verse number 5 of Psalm 77. The Bible said, I considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Preacher, what do I do when I'm overwhelmed? Remember. What am I to remember? The past. What God had done for you before. If God's done it at least once in your life, guess what? He can do it again. If God's brought you from being overwhelmed before, what makes you think he can't do it now? See, a lot of times we forget just how powerful God is. What is he going to do this time? The same thing he did last time. Be faithful and help you through your struggles. Here's the interesting thing. In Psalm 77, we see an overwhelmed spirit. Also in Psalm 143, you also see an overwhelmed spirit. In both Psalms tonight, the first step was to remember what God had done for them. So tonight, if you're overwhelmed, you need to step back and remember what God has done for you. Let me ask you tonight, as politely as I can, is this your first rodeo? Say, no, preacher, neither is it God's. He literally saved your soul from hell. He forgave every single one of your sins. He's purchased you with his own blood. May we remember the things that God has already done. That way, in the midst of our overwhelming, we'll remember he is not overwhelmed. He remembered. And then verse number 7 and 9, he begins to reason with himself. Will the Lord, verse number 7 of Psalm 77, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy gone forever? Doth his promises fail evermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut out his tender mercies? Selah. You know what the psalmist was doing? He was asking himself rhetorical questions. This is going to sound crazy, but if you're overwhelmed tonight, your spirit is burdened because of everything that you feel like you have to do, it may be time to ask yourself some rhetorical questions. Is God still on the throne? Yes. Does God still have all power? Yes. Is God still gracious? Of course he is. Does God have mercy that is new every morning? Yes. And as you begin to remember, and then you begin to reason with yourself through rhetorical questions, you'll be reminded that God can handle this, even though I can't. Then notice this, he remembered, he reasoned, and in verses 10 through 14, he began to rejoice. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is a great God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And he begins to rejoice in what God has done. Nowhere in here does he say, oh, all my problems are solved. Everything that's overwhelmed me has disappeared. But what happens is he took his eyes off of everything else. He got his eyes on God. And he remembered how great God is. Well, if your spirit's burdened tonight, why don't you take your eyes off of what's burdening you? And put your eyes on the one who carried the burden for you. There's a burdened spirit. There's a broken spirit. Let me ask you, do you have a burdened spirit, an overwhelmed spirit that needs to be made right? Not only do we have a broken and a burdened spirit, but notice lastly tonight, we have a breathless spirit. A breathless spirit, or a spirit without breath. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 143. Go down to verse number 7 tonight. The Bible said, hear me speedily, quickly, O Lord. My spirit faileth. My spirit faileth. Now, tonight, we ought not to settle for a broken spirit. We ought not to settle for a burdened spirit. We ought to desire for a right spirit. But if I was going to categorize which one of these are the most dangerous, I'd have to say this one. This is the spirit that is fainting. This is the spirit, not that it's just falling out, but rather it is losing breath. Life is being taken out of it in that sense. But out of the three spirits, this is the most serious one. The reality is a broken spirit that is not dealt with will become a burdened spirit. And when that's not dealt with, it will become a breathless spirit. This is where you stand up and say, I quit. I'm done. Done with all of it. Never going back to church, never open my Bible again. I'm not praying. I'm done with it all. This is the spirit that is fainting. This is the breathless spirit tonight. You ought not to be comfortable with any of them, but please don't let it get this far. Truthfully, you should deal with them now, because if not, this is the spirit you're heading towards. My spirit faileth. That word faileth means to end. It means to cease. It means to perish. So you can see why it's serious tonight. Because think about it in this sense. If something is broken, you break a bone in your body. You break your arm. It's in pain and it hurts until they get that thing set and cast. I remember when TR broke his elbow years ago. He was in pain. And then they put that thing in a cast, or they set it, they put that thing in a cast, and that boy was like $1 million. And we told him, listen, if we get through this, we'll take you to get ice cream. Man, he was walking through that ice cream shop like he owned the place. I mean, just 5 minutes ago, we thought you was about to die. And now all of a sudden they got it set and cast. You are good to go. But we see here tonight that we understand when something's broken, when it's reset and it's cast and it heals, everything's fine. When someone's overwhelmed, they're going through an anxiety, they're going through a panic attack. Once they're calmed down, everything is fine. But when someone stops breathing, that's real serious. That's a life and death endeavor. And here's the thing. When somebody quits breathing, they can no longer help themselves. They can't set their bone in that sense. They can't calm themselves down. When somebody quits breathing, they are dependent upon somebody else to help them. And it becomes real serious, real fast. When your spirit fails, you're saying, I quit. You're done. I've given up. I've done everything I can do, and nothing's helping. So I'm just done. Let me ask you tonight, if you were to walk upon somebody laid out in the middle of the floor right here who had quit breathing, outside of panicking, what would you do? Would you stand there and tell them how to breathe? Hey, here's what you need to do. You just need to breathe. Put air in your lungs and let air out. It's not that hard. I'm doing it right now. Would you go up to them and pull out a diagram? This is how you breathe. Step one. Step two. Step three. Or would you go and say, well, I would have never done what they did to get in that predicament anyways. That's on them that they're not breathing. Right? No. I hope that's what you wouldn't do. No, what would you do? You would begin what is called cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, to get them breathing again. Two breaths of 30 compressions, until they switch it, and then it's 1 to 15, and they'll switch it back again. I don't know how they come up with those numbers, statistics. But you would stop, and you would understand there is nothing else that they can do to help themselves. They are required. They are needing somebody else to cause them to start breathing again. Now look at Psalm 143. In verse number 7, he said, my spirit faileth me. Or my spirit faileth. I quit. I'm done. There's nothing else I can do to restore my spirit, to fix my spirit, to renew my spirit, But look at verse number 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. In essence, what the psalmist is saying, Lord, there is nothing else that I can do. Lord, you're going to have to cause me to hear thy loving kindness again. In essence, Lord, you're going to have to do what is necessary. You're going to cause me to breathe again. There are some of us tonight who need God to cause your spirit to breathe again. You've tried everything else. There's nothing else you can do. You need God to do it. Lord, make me to see how good you are. Make me to see how gracious you are. Lord, make it so I can't miss it. Remind me, Lord, of how wonderful you are. You need to say, Lord, cause me to hear, to see, to trust, to love, to believe, to honor, to do everything I'm supposed to be. Cause me to do it again, Lord, because I can't do it by myself. Let me ask you now, are you desperate enough to ask the Lord to do that for you? Cause me. Take away the things that are distracting me, Lord. Take away the pleasures that I enjoy but are pulling me away from you. Lord, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee in the hiding to hide me. Teach me, quicken me, verse number 11. Everything he said, he's, Lord, you're going to have to do it because I can't do it for myself. And here's the thing tonight. A person who comes to that place, they have to realize this is their last hope. This is their, if nothing else change, if you come in and CPR doesn't work, and the defibrillator doesn't work, there's nothing else we can do for you. But I'm thankful tonight that every person that God comes to and begins to cause you to see him for who he really is and for what he's done in your life, the Lord's never lost anybody. The Lord's never messed up. The Lord's never once said, he's too far gone. If you'll ask him to cause you, to cause me, and you begin to see all that he's done in your life, he will take that life that is breathless and renew it and make it right again. Exactly where it's supposed to be. Let me ask you now, how is your spirit? Is it right? Well, I appreciate it ain't all the way right, but it's close enough. Well, there's no close enough and right. Either it is right or it isn't. Is it broken tonight? Are you burdened? And you wouldn't like to admit it, but you're real, really close to breathless. Are you going to cry out like David did in Psalm 51? Lord, renew a right spirit in me. Not just for revival. It'd be wonderful if we all came with a right spirit on Monday night or Sunday through Friday. Can I say tonight, we need a right spirit tomorrow. Friday and Saturday, we need a right spirit. Y'all ladies going to that ladies meeting, walk up in there with a right spirit. And people probably won't forget you. And people from South Haven, they're something else. And folks love the Lord over there. A right spirit. Is your spirit burdened? Is it broken tonight? Is it breathless? Are you going to come ask God to renew a right spirit tonight?